Welcome to PreachItAudio.com. If you're encouraged and strengthened by this message today, be sure to tell someone who this message may bless about PreachItAudio.com, or simply share this message by copying it to a CD and giving it to them so they can listen to it at their own leisure. It is always our prayer that this message will be a blessing to you. May it be a source of strength and help for the struggle you may be facing today. Lord Jesus, I ask you to bless this one who may be listening to this message. Let your word be a light unto their pathway as they go through their day and the week ahead. Bless them, Father, with all spiritual blessing is my prayer today. In Jesus' name. Now we take you to the service already in progress. God bless you.
I'm reading Mark chapter 5, verse 1. And they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadarenes. When he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces. Neither could any man tame him. And always night and day he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. Now the picture is fixing to change. But when he saw Jesus,
hallelujah.
I'm just going to let that slowly sweep through here. His life has been hell on earth, but heaven's coming down. But when he saw Jesus, something happened. I want to preach from those few words. But when he saw Jesus, my subject, seeing the unseen. Seeing the unseen. Now, Father, thanks for this service. Thanks for everything that's happened. Thank you for these wonderful campers. Thank you for these precious visitors. All my fellow ministers. Thank you, Lord, that I know in my spirit I'm fixing to fight the devil. But I'm so glad because I'm going to win. I ask you to anoint me. Give me strength in my voice, in my spirit. Grant me compassion to preach. Help me never to be vicious or rude in any way. Thank you, Lord, for this district, the privilege and honor to be here. In Jesus' name we pray. Everybody said amen. God bless you. You may be seated. You tonight about what it takes to see something that you can't see. We live in a world of five senses. You see and you smell and you touch, you taste and you hear. Adam and Eve were spiritual beings when God created them. They did not live within the confines of their five senses. They were able to communicate with God on a higher plane. When they sinned and transgressed the word of the Lord, they lost their spirituality.
Right.
And they fell back into the plain and the plateau of the sense world. There are worlds around us tonight that are very real. But you cannot see them with the naked eye. You cannot even come close to realizing the grandeur of their civilization just by looking at it. I'm amazed if you go to the doctor, he pricks your finger with a needle, he takes a little swatch of blood, and when he comes back in 10 days, he tells you everything you got and everything you ain't got.
Right.
I try to figure all that out. I says, how'd you find that out? He holds up a little glass slide and says, well, I just looked at this. Well, I look at it and all it looks like is a smoosh of blood.
Yeah.
But he says, well, you see, I've got a secret weapon you don't know how to use. I took your little drop of blood and I put it under a magnifying glass. And that magnifying glass began to open up an unseen world to me that's always there. You may not be able to see it, but it's there. I want to tell you, you can step out tonight and look at the stars and you say how beautiful it is. But there's someone who's got a powerful telescope and he can see worlds that you can't see because it's being magnified through the help of an instrument. I want to tell you, there are beings in this tabernacle tonight that you and I cannot see with the natural eye. The angel of the Lord encampeth about them that fear him. And you and I will never see the things that God wants us to see if we keep living within our five senses. We must begin to worship. We must begin to praise him. We must begin to open up, and God will anoint our eyes, and we will see things that we didn't know were there.
All right. All right.
It's going to be a long night, ain't it?
No, it's going to be a great night.
Now, I want you to stick with me. Read for me, Elder Johnson. I'm going to preach good with or without you.
What do you want me to read?
I want you to read verse 1. Read anything. I'll preach the whole Bible. Read anything.
And they came over unto the other side of the sea.
Right.
Into the country of the Gadarenes.
Yes.
And when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit.
Come on.
Who had his dwelling among the tombs.
Stop. This poor slob is a real slob. He's just not a regular slob. He's a real slob. Have you ever thought what it'd be like to live in a cemetery? That's where this guy lives.
Yeah. Right.
He's living in the tombs. The Bible says he didn't just go by. He had his dwelling in the tomb.
Right.
He lived among dead folk.
All right.
That's like some church folk. They live among dead folk.
Right.
And you know what? The longer you live around dead things, the more you become like them.
Amen.
Woo! The longer you live in darkness, the more you get used to darkness.
All right.
You can walk into one of these highfalutin restaurants, and I only go when they take me out. Nice and big, they take me to them high-class restaurants. Everybody must not like everybody. Because when you walk in, as soon as you got out, the street is dark. And you go in like that, you can't see a single thing. I got to get behind some of these preachers here. Hold on, where are we going? My eyes are trying to get used to the darkness. Boy, ain't that a sermon. And I just keep walking in, and they take me by the salad bar and have to kind of pull the chair out and let me sit down. And they're just feeling great. They've been in the darkness so long, they know where everything is. And I'm sitting there for a half hour, and then finally my eyeballs begin to dilate a little, and all of a sudden I'll see the salad bar, and I'll see a bunch of people, and I'll see the musician playing on the piano, and I said, hey, when did they get everything in here? They say, that stuff was always here. You just weren't used to the darkness. Dear God, I don't ever want to get used to spiritual darkness. I don't ever want to get used to being a compromiser and an easy way out. I want to walk in the light as he is in the light. I want to see Jesus.
All
that
right.
way, there'll be no surprises in my life.
All right.
I want to tell you, this boy is the epitome of sadness. There were no Valentine cards that came to him. They didn't send him no happy birthday cards. His wife didn't send him an anniversary card and said, "Hope you're having a great time, Pookie." He was just in the tomb, lonely, afraid, despised, friendless. I think one of the greatest tragedies in 82 is to be misunderstood.
Right.
You've got a free course if you want to judge my actions, but you have no freedom to judge my motives. You don't know my motives. You don't know that I've tried real hard to do the best I could, and sometimes it doesn't come out right. Please, don't judge my motives. You don't know my motives. All right. I'll just meddle a little while. That's why we've got church split. That's why we've got problems in churches.
Come on.
Because we misunderstand and we misconstrue things that are honest.
All right.
And the only way you can do that is to be in darkness. Because if you ever see Jesus, you'll never damn your brother. You'll never condemn your brother. You'll never be a criticizer. You won't be a murderer. You won't be a backbiter if you ever see Jesus. I'm going to apologize to every one of you young people for us old cats that have caused you some consternation.
All right.
The reason why some of you are not fully in the church is because some of us big cats ain't fully in the church. You want to know why some of your preacher kids turn out to be sluts and prostitutes and faggots?
Come on.
And think that they hear too much trouble. They hear too much junk. They're exposed to stuff that they shouldn't be exposed to. You ought not tell them church trouble. You ought not tell them anything. They need to see Jesus. They need to see Jesus in our lives.
Now, you're preaching where we're living.
Woo!
Help me, preacher.
I'm telling you the God's honest truth.
Woo! My.
You may be seated for just a second. You'll be up again. I'm not glowing when I say you'll be up again. I've heard from God, Doc.
Heard from God,
I was
Doc.
On my face today. I've heard from the Lord. I know where I'm going. It's the will of God that the United Pentecostal Church get a fresh vision of Jesus Christ, Him crucified, Him glorified, Him coming again. Stop all the nitpicking. Shut your mouth. If you ain't got nothing to say that's good, shut up.
Turn him up.
You want to find trouble? You don't have to be a Bible school graduate to find it. Trouble's everywhere. But it takes integrity. It takes godliness to see Jesus. It takes a hungering and a thirsting to find the goodness of the Lord. Anybody can gripe. I'm going to tell you something. I get so sick of traveling around and eating lunch and dinner with preachers, and they are the most negative slobs you ever met. We have people that know more wrong than right. And I'm telling you, I've fallen into the same trap. I'm guilty. I try to stay positive. I don't want to say who's in the sheets with this one, who ran away with that one, who got caught smoking, I'm not interested in any of that garbage. I don't care who's hiding the TV over here and who's... That's not what I want to know. Hey, have you seen Jesus lately? Have you seen Jesus lately? Is the Lord working in your life? Is God making headway in your soul? I want to tell you, how you see things is how they become. You see things negative, it will make you negative. You see things down and out, it will make you down and out. But if you can become positive, if
Come
you
on.
Can look for the good, if you can look for the holy, you'll become good. You'll become holy. You'll become like God. This old boy, his life was a total disaster. And I love to talk about this man. I don't know his name, but I guess I have a kindred spirit with him. But before I ever come in contact with Jesus Christ, I too lived in the tombs. It wasn't a physical tomb. It was a spiritual one. I lived in the honky-tonk, in the beer parlor. I shot 8-ball and 9-ball in Chicago and straight lots of times all night. I made a lot of money shooting pool. I was all right at doing that stuff. I enjoyed it. I could do the twist and the honky-tonk and the cha-cha and all the rest of it. I liked to dance. I liked to juke and jump. I enjoyed being a sinner. I just didn't like after the party was over. I hated for them to turn off the music. I hated for them to say, the party's over, go home. Because when I went home, it was just me and my shame.
Come on now.
And my guilt. And there was something about that cat that I saw in the mirror. I never could fool him. I fooled them all, but when I looked at him, he'd smile back and say, Jeffrey, you're lying. You danced all night. You had a big time. You told everybody you was happy. You flashed your $1 million smile. But now you're home. And it's just you and the thirsting of your heart. And you're not happy. And I remember I stayed in the service 4 years during Vietnam's little confrontation. And I'd go home 2 or 3 in the morning from boozing it and half bagged out of my gourd. I'd go kneel down next to my bed when I closed the door. Nobody could see. Oh, Jeffrey. And I'd begin to pour my heart out in my half-drunken stupor to God and say, oh, God, please help me. I don't want to be a drunk. I don't want to steal. I don't want to cheat. I don't want to lie. But I can't help myself.
God.
No Pentecostal ever talked to me. Nobody ever gave me a tract. Nobody ever invited me to church. But one night, God's presence moved into my home. Why? Blessed are they that do hunger and thirst after righteousness. They shall be filled. And if the United Pentecostal Church doesn't hurry up and wake up, God will write Ichabod over our fellowship, and he'll raise somebody up that will look for him and love him and walk in holiness and righteousness.
I believe that. I believe that.
I do believe that.
We don't have it.
Now listen to me. I'm going to go a little faster now.
Preach, brother. Take your old man.
The Bible said this old boy, he was used to people coming to see him. Oh, yes, he was. He lived outside, Brother Johnson, of Gadara.
Right.
And the Bible said constantly the vigilante crew came to see him. The midnight hour, everybody had their pajamas on and their nightgowns. And all of a sudden, Flash up in the tombs would give one of his... And little lights would flick on all over Gadara. And they'd say, he's at it again. Make your spine move in 3 directions at the same time. Because he's a wild man. He was a dog. He was a human that was made in the image of God, but had fallen into devil possession. That devil that lived in him would scream of a night. Then people would take off, and they'd go back up to the tombs with their chains and their fetters and their binding instruments and, of course, the almighty whip. They would attack this man full of devils and demons, wild-eyed, leery-eyed, crazy-eyed. They'd put chains and fetters on him. They'd whip him into submission. Listen to me now. I'm fixing a medal again.
Come on now.
Be careful, Pentecost. That when people come to us that don't have a right spirit, that we don't attack them with fetters and chains and bind them with rules and regulations. We need to let them know the house of God is a house of forgiveness.
Come on.
It's a house of mercy. It's a house where you can be restored to fellowship with God. Woo! Somebody walks in our church and they're wearing a mini skirt that looks like a band-aid, leave them alone. If they walk in and their hair's hanging to their shoulders and they got beards and sideburns and they stink real funky, leave them alone. Don't all of a sudden pull yourself out of sermon and say, I got one in the back now. They might be so hungry for God just for a kind word. Just if they could see Jesus in us. If they could ever see Jesus in us, they'll line up, they'll make a way, they'll meet the standard.
Woo! Come on now.
If I could get you to love Jesus Christ, I'll never have trouble with you lining up.
That's it.
It's renegades that don't see Jesus. And when they look at our standards, and I think we're right, they look at the high things that we call for morality, and I think we're right. All they do is look at it and say, that's a bunch of junk. I can't do that. That's fetters and chains. But to me, that I love the Lord, that's not fetters and chains. That's life. He said, I do these things for you because I love you. I've got a 2.5-year-old daughter who's having a hard time raising me. But she consistently tries. And I constantly discipline her. And I tell her she can't go play by the street, but she wants to anyway. And I tell her she can't play with those matches, but she tries to find them anyway. And I tell her she's not allowed to do certain things. And sometimes when Daddy gives her a good shot on the fanny, she thinks I'm the worst thing that ever walked in shoe leather. But I want to tell you what, the Bible said if you don't correct them, you don't love them. If you don't discipline them, you don't love them. Jesus said, everybody that I chasten, I love. Now watch this. Read for me if you would, Brother Johnson. I'm going as fast as the audience.
And no man could bind him. No, not with chains. Because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces.
Often. What's the last part?
Neither could any man tame him.
Brother Holly, that's always hurt my heart to hear that. Neither could any man tame him. Doc, you don't tame humans. You tame dogs. You train humans. You teach humans, but you don't tame humans. And the problem this man had was the folks that were trying to help him were in as bad a shape as he was. They just kept trying to deal with the result instead of the problem. Now stick with me, please.
We're with you.
Okay, read.
And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones.
Now don't be afraid. Uncle Jeffrey's not going to hurt you. I've just got as rough as I'm going to get. Now we're going to get happy. Please put down your shield of defense. We're going to eat in just a second. Hold on. Read.
But when he saw Jesus...
Stop. Now, I have a personal thing about the devil. And he understands I hate his stinking guts. I tell you what, you'd have a lot less trouble with sin if you'd start hating sin. If you'd hate the devil. If God would give you a fervor to hate things that are not godly and not holy, you wouldn't be so wishy-washy. Every great man that ever did anything for God, read his life, he hated sin. We've reached a time in our generation that instead of hating sin, we start comparing notes. Well, is this wrong or ain't that wrong? It was wrong 50 years ago, If it's not wrong today, then we lied. I say it's still wrong. Woo! What it took in 1920, it'll take in 1980.
Yes.
What it takes in 80, it'll take in 90. You must be born again.
Yes.
You must be holy. You must be separate. Farewell. Stay there, you sit down for a second.
Glory.
Now I'm going to get to the favorite part of my sermon. When he saw Jesus.
Yes.
Now, you got to understand my Brooklynese fantasy. I ain't got no real smarts. I ain't never been in no kind of schools or nothing. I'm just old dumb drunk that got saved. I ain't got the finesse. Got the wrong adjectives and I got the predicate nominatives when where the rest of the jazz is supposed to be. Nevertheless, you understand me. Now listen. Here, I'm gonna teach you a little simple lesson tonight. The devil ain't the bad dude he's trying to tell you he is. Understand that this man is full of the devil. Not this guy ain't got a bad spirit. He is full of the devil. Now watch. Look at it. Now if I were the devil,
yeah,
and I owned this doggy, this madman full of the devil, I'd pull my chain and he'd come to the right. I'd snap my chain and he'd go to the left. I'd pull it hard and I'd just choke him and play games with him if I had that much power. But I somehow in the fantasy of my mind think that that day, while this devil was tormenting this legion-filled man, a little man who couldn't even pay his own taxes till he sent Pete to go fishing, come a-stepping out of a rowboat he borrowed. Well, he couldn't make it among us, could he?
No, I'm afraid he couldn't. Not a county.
The truth. When Jesus Christ step on the ground, every devil that was in that man said, wow, something's landed. Something's different. We've had people before, but something was like a shockwave in the spirit world that grabbed a hold of those devils and said, we got trouble. Now listen to me. Listen to me. You can be seated again. Watch this. Like I said, if I was the devil and I got this notice that the supernatural force just came, I would have taken my little doggy, because I'm the big bad devil, and I would have hid him on the back side of the island.
Yeah.
Now you stay here, and don't you go near whatever we're feeling.
Could do that.
But this man, foul of the devil, could still exercise human will. And even though that devil pushed him in the corner, put his foot on his neck and said, sit there, boy. I could see that demon-possessed man lift up one eyeball towards the sun. And the Bible says, when he saw Jesus, that's all he needed. I want you to know the Bible says when he saw Jesus afar off. Some of you can't worship unless he gets real close. If you got the goods, you can worship God when he's way off. He don't have to fall on me for me to worship him. I don't even have to feel him to worship him. Some of you still ain't in the ball game. You're waiting for him to bowl you over. He ain't gonna do it. He's gonna respond to far off worship. He's gonna be the one, when I say what I'm fixing to say, you're gonna go slap through the roof. Now I'm gonna tell you, I never stole this from nobody. I didn't get a tape until God gave it to me. I was praying and the Lord just showed it to me. Watch this. This man, I want a chair.
Yeah, you have anything you want.
All you cats that still ain't moved, you look at me. This guy. The Bible says he has got a legion of devils.
Yeah,
honey, that's more than a baker's dozen.
That's big.
That's way up there. How many thousand?
Six.
6,000? Well, I was going to settle for 1,000. We just say he's got at least 1,000 devils in him. Watch this. When he saw Jesus. Read that for me, elder.
When he saw Jesus afar off. He ran.
Stop. Nobody told him. He just ran. What you wait for? You can't stand. What? Maybe that's why we've got troubles. Something wrong with our eyes. We've got too many rules, too many do's and don'ts. If we could ever see Jesus, it would heal us. It would give us power. I want to preach some more.
He's ready.
Here it goes. We're on ready. Listen, every time somebody came to see this demon-possessed man, the Bible indicates he ran the other way. You know why he ran to Jesus? Listen to me. Jesus was the first man that ever came to his life without a whip. He was the first man that ever came without a chain to bind him and restrict him. That man saw written across the face of Jesus his own words. I'm come to set you free. I didn't come to bind you. I didn't come to rebuke you. I didn't come to condemn you. I've come that you might have life and you might have it more abundantly. Jesus, like a taskmaster that condemns and confined. We could go into a robust relationship. Give me a few more minutes, if you would. You're so sweet. Listen to me. This is the one, Brother Keith Lane, this is the one that has kept my motor going since I got saved. This one. Now watch this. Now I'm going to say this, and I'm telling you ahead of time, it's going to hurt some of you just a little bit, but it's not personal. It's the book. I don't want to hurt you. It'll hurt you for a second, but then you'll get saved. You'll be all right. The Bible says, when he saw Jesus, he ran. Next verse, please. Ran.
And worshiped him.
Here's what I want to say. This man has got 1,000 plus devils in him, and they can't stop him from worshiping. They can't stop him. He ain't even got the Holy Ghost. All he's got is devils. Here's what I want to ask you. If 1,000 plus devils couldn't hold that man back, what's stopping some of you? Chicken liver cop out, but I just can't get through. If a cat with 1,000 devils can get through, you'll get through. Just how bad do you want to get through? I'm going to show you something. This kind of gets humorous now. I think the Bible, sometimes I think the Bible is a humorous book, not making fun of being just respectful, irreverent to God. When I mean humorous, I mean unique. It's got some sensational situations. Now, I believe, campers, that Jesus Christ, God Himself, answers prayer. I'm going to show you something. This is cool. Here's this big, tough devil beating up on this poor cat. Hey, this guy's the original streaker in the Bible. He ain't got a stitch of clothes on. Boy, if I was a preacher, could I preach on that? You can tell what kind of spirit you got by the way you look. I guess I'm sick of folks telling me, God don't care what we look like. The Bible said you're God's house. You mean He don't care what His house looks like? You care what your house looks like unless you're a slob. God's not a slob. Look at the world He made. Look at the rainbow. Look at the Grand Canyon. Look at the coast of Spain. Look at Hawaii. God made beautiful things. Stick with me another minute. I'm coming home in just a second. Watch this. This is so sweet. I got to do this, Brother Holly, because it's my salvation. I believe this stuff. I do. This ain't just a game to me. I believe this. Here's this big, bad devil been beaten up on this poor, naked dude, having him scream all night. Everybody beat him up with whips and chaining him. Now watch this. He has been the master. But now here's this poor, naked cat. He's a-worshipping Jesus. Now the tables turn. And the next few verses, the Bible says, the devil puts in a prayer request. For the devil says to Jesus, please don't cast us in the deep. Please! Pretty, 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 please! Dear God, saints, if you could get the worshiping God, you could put the devil on his knees. Satan! Satan! Satan, God! Overcome the devil. Worship. How are we going to keep the victory? See Jesus. Now, let me continue some more. Watch this. The devil say, Lord, please don't cast us in the deep. Now stick with me. Just hold on a minute. The devil look around and see a whole bunch of piggies over on the corner. That's Brooklynese for swine. Piggies. Now watch this. The devil say, please, would you just let us go into the swine? I can see Jesus just kind of winking and going, go ahead. And that devil was happy to go. Because he's come in contact with the one that made him. He knew who he's talking to. He knew it was the Lord God Almighty. He knew it. He was the great Jehovah Jireh. He knew just who he was talking to. I got more to say. Hold on. Watch this. The Bible say, now this is going to not be one of them hurt jobs, but it'll be over in a minute. The Bible said that when the pigs became demon-possessed, I don't know whether pigs can talk, but they communicated to each other somehow. For the scripture reads that when the legion of devils went into those pigs, they talked each other into committing suicide. And you know what they said? They said, to die is better than to live like this. You know what they were really saying? This is the tragedy of this sermon. Listen to this. Even pigs won't put up with some spirits humans do. Some of us will put up with the filthiest, scummiest, rottenest attitudes and spirits that we ever seen. And even a pig wouldn't put up with that. When are you going to see Jesus? Worship yourself out of that pit. The Bible says that when the town came out, they found that naked man no longer naked. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. And I like this. Brother Holly, they've called me and thee nuts for a long time. You holy rollers are crazy. You've lost your mind. The Bible says he's sitting at the feet of Jesus and he's got his right mind. He's fully clothed. I will confess, I have lost my mind. The writer in Philippians said, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ. I gave away my mind. I've got the mind of Christ. Elder, I want one more scripture and I'm going to quit. Would you be seated for just one more minute? I want Matthew chapter 2 and verse 10 through 12 and I'm going to quit.
No, man, preach. Can I stand up and read it?
Sure.
All right.
Hey, listen to me. I want to share this with you for free.
God.
In Isaiah 39, 1 and 2, you preachers, you can go home and preach this if you want. Isaiah 39, 1 and 2, the Bible says that there came some visitors and guests from Babylon to see Hezekiah. And the scripture says that Hezekiah showed them all the merchandise in his kingdom.
Right.
Showed them all his gold and all his silver. And that has to be the greatest tragedy in the life of Hezekiah. You know why? Because Babylon has got gold. And Babylon got silver. And Babylon has got mechanics. And Babylon has got the program. Hezekiah never showed the miracles in his life. He just showed the merchandise. I'm afraid sometimes in our services, when the sinner from Babylon comes, they hear the choir, they see all the grandeur, they watch all the protocol. They don't want any merchandise. They want the miracles. They want the prophets. They want the voice of God. Now listen to me. I got to go home. Ain't this fun?
And when they saw the stars.
This is the three wise men. And they're coming to see a little bambino who was born in downtown Bethlehem. And the Bible said when they saw the star, Lanny Wolf made a tape.
No, sir.
Watch this. The three wise men, the Bible says, when they saw the star, read.
They rejoiced with exceeding great joy.
That's what we've been doing right now. You know why? Wait a minute. You know why? We're rejoicing because we see the star. There's one step past the star. Hold on. Read.
And when they were come into the house.
The house.
They saw the young child with Mary.
Right.
His mother.
Right.
And fell down.
What?
Woo! And worshiped him.
Stop. You can rejoice when his presence comes. That's all. You just feel the wind come by. And you rejoice. But wait a minute, baby Case. But when you see him, you won't just do your little doo-wah, diddy, diddy. When you really see him, you'll worship! You're open to him like the wise men did. They're treasures. Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Now I am coming to the end. Breathe for me, elder.
Yes, sir.
Listen to me. Stand where you is.
They all worshipped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they presented unto him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh.
All the seniors be still. I'm talking to the big kids now. Check your encounter with God. Some of us in our fellowship have closed our checkbooks and our wallets and have built our own little kingdoms. And it tells me there's something wrong with our worship. Because when we worship Him, our treasures are given to Him. Now I'm going to finish. Read.
Yes. And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed into their own country another way.
Stop. Here's the icing on the cake. If you see the star, you rejoice. But if you ever see him and you worship, you'll go home another way. You'll never stay the way you came. It's spiritually impossible. So now we've come to the close. And what shall I do? Shall I give the standard Pentecostal altar call? Should I call Brother Lane to sing? Do we have to have the music? Must the merchandise be on display again? You need to worship him in your own heart, in your own way, in your own spirit. For he's worthy. The Bible tells us in Hebrews 11 that Moses, the mighty man of God, endured as seeing him who is invisible. He could see something beyond what his natural eye could see. He could see something beyond just the now. Tragedy of tragedies, camper and visitor alike. That just because a little hell breaks loose in our life and some bad situations blow into our being, that we somehow shut our spiritual blinders, throw in the towel and say, what's the use? The last thing that Jesus Christ ever required of his church, you'll find it in Revelation 3, about 17, 18, and 19, when he talked to Laodicea, he requested of them to do one of three things. He said, and anoint your eyes that you might see. God knew in this day that we'd get blinded to valuable things. I'm telling you, children, in your own way, in your own sweet, precious way, if you can work it out to see Jesus, you will never backslide. For when we see Him like He really is, our own reflection comes back. And then we see how unworthy we are. And there's no room for us to nitpick and criticize and fruit inspect. There's no room for that. Oh, that I might see it. I want to see it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's everybody stand. The Lord wants to visit us now. Let's worship Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ooh, hallelujah.
This message has been a blessing to you today. Please pass it along to someone else or simply tell them about PreachItAudio.com. If you would like to find a Spirit-filled church where lives are transformed in your area, I encourage you to email us today at churches@PreachItAudio.com. Let us know the city and state you live in, and we will reply back to you very quickly to direct you to the church in your area where you will receive the strength you need for your life today, and where you too can receive the gift of the Holy Ghost.